Hi, welcome to Soul Revolution. We believe that you are the change wherever you are. If you like to know more about us, who we are and what we do, find us on Facebook as Soul Revolution. We are so thrilled to share this message with you today.
Okay, so, you know, my plate with a radius of about 1 kilometer around my plate was my territory. And I was very possessive about my food. No one messed with my food, okay? You can ask my brother, even till now, when we would get food, there's no sharing, okay? There's no friendship over there. And I'll let you in on a little secret right now. You know what? I still love food. How many foodies are in the house? Can you make some noise? Come on, if you love food and you're here, make some noise. Good. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come around and ask you what's your favorite food and why do you like it, okay? So I'm just going to walk around randomly and you just tell me your favorite food and why do you like it.
Biryani. It's very tasty.
Biryani and it's very tasty. Okay, I'm going to head over right here.
Nando's chicken. I love the Nando sauce.
Okay, chicken and the sauce. Okay, anyone else?
Spaghetti.
Why?
Because it's good.
Spaghetti. Anyone loves spaghetti? Okay, let's just take a quick poll right here. What do you guys like to eat?
Momos.
Momos. Anybody love momos? Yes. Okay, you tell me what.
Biryani.
Biryani. Okay, he likes biryani. Okay, quickly over here. Josiah, what do you like to eat?
Ice cream cake.
Okay, the list is going to go on, but it's ice cream for the time being right here, okay? Can you tell me what you love eating? Ice cream. Okay, excellent. So, we all have a sweet tooth when it comes to food, right? You see, my parents taught me that from a very young age, we cannot be fussy about our food. We want to waste anything that gets to our plates. But we were also told not to have eyes that were bigger than our stomachs. So being fussy about food really wasn't an option. Somehow, eating food in the long run became a hobby. At age 16, I was 80 kgs, okay? I was 80 kgs. I remember this incident where I had gone to the weighing machine and when I stood, I got the ticket and it said I was 80 kgs. The guy behind me after that, when he saw it, he said there's something wrong with the machine. And I knew for sure it wasn't because I had done it in a couple of other places and it was the same. Some of my favorites are right here up, okay? Biryani and noodles, burgers, egg rolls, and you know, before the local shop near my house could open, I would be waiting there to buy food, okay? And I really, really love food. And you know, it's common, like when people come to our homes, we like to feed them, right? One way you know if someone really is happy when they've come to your home is based on the quantity of food they eat. So there is this one person's parents who weren't really familiar with Hindi. And what they actually wanted to tell the guests who had come over was, please don't feel shy, eat, okay? So they wanted to say, sharam mat karo, aur khao, okay? They ended up saying, tumko sharam nahi lagta, aur khao, okay? For those of you who got that, you probably know, like, eating food is a real big part of our food, of our culture, okay, and of our development. And this evening, we want to talk about food and we want to talk about eating habits because at Soul Life, we believe your development as a person, as a whole, is really important. We can't leave that out, okay? And we are interested in seeing you grow as a person mentally, morally, socially, and physically. So if you do give me permission to go further, I'm going to walk over a very sensitive topic this evening. And we are going to talk about food. Well, it's fun, but many of us have our reservations about who eats what and who says what about what I eat, okay? So some people are like, main apne baap ka kha raha hu, tumko kya jata hai, okay? So you have that attitude. But if you will give me the permission this evening, I want to talk about food. George Bernard Shaw, he said this, there is no sincerer love than the love of food. And I agree with him, okay? Because when it comes to food, we all get pretty serious. You know that common proverb which says, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? I'm sure that's for women as well. If someone gives you bad food, I'm sure you're not going to like them. Elizabeth Olsen said this, I get way too much happiness from good food. I get way too much happiness from good food. So it's not just about the food then. It's also about how we feel about the food. Everyone say, oh yeah. Well, by talking about food, what's been evolving these days are lifestyle diets, okay? And some of you may have heard these terms earlier, but for me, these were pretty new, okay? So the first one is a diet called clean, okay? It's basically avoiding eating processed foods where unhealthy ingredients are often snuck into recipes. And the key is to ensure these items are free from preservatives and chemicals. Also, what happens is someone who observes this lifestyle eats about 5 or 6 small meals in a day, as they believe it's easier to control ingredients and portions that go into each meal. So that's clean. Then you have the paleo, okay? It's a diet based on food groups of pre-agriculture hunter-gatherer lifestyle. So this would be fresh fruits, vegetables, eggs, nuts, seeds, healthy oils, olive, walnut, flax seeds, and so on and so forth. The third is vegan, okay? Third is vegan. Now, the first time when I heard vegan, I thought it was a close relative of bacon, okay? But I very soon realized vegan is following a diet excluding meat, fish, and poultry. Any byproducts such as eggs, dairy, and honey. And this one is more of the stricter diets to follow. These days, we all know it's becoming a very serious issue, the trend of becoming vegan. Then you have the primal, okay? It's pretty similar to the paleo. It's pretty similar, but it's different in the sense that this theory states that since foods existed when humans evolved, they provide balanced nutrition. So more modern foods such as vegetable oils, grains, and dairy promote fat storage and are not a part of this diet. Then the fifth is seafood diet, okay? Not the one that Shomio had mentioned, but it's called the Mediterranean, where the surrounding coast of the Mediterranean Sea provided nutrients, okay? A wealth of nutrients. And the style of cooking adopted by countries such as Greece and Italy has been known to help reduce the risk of heart disease while providing a well-balanced diet. Now, another lifestyle diet which is becoming very common these days is gluten-free. How many of you have heard that term before, gluten-free, right? It's basically eating of things that are free of anything to do with wheat, gluten, okay? These days, gluten-free is becoming pretty serious. Everywhere you get gluten-free stuff, even so much so you're getting gluten-free toilet paper. I'm just kidding, you don't get gluten-free toilet paper. But this evening, there's another diet that I want us to talk about, okay? This diet came about as a rise in a particular food habit. Standing here today, even as I talk about this, I just see two different pictures that are so opposite to each other. On one side, we have people who are sick from starving in our country. On the other side, there are people who are sick from eating, okay? On one side, there is absence of food, and on the other side, there is an excess of food. So we are standing at a place where we are torn between these two things, where the rich are becoming richer, the poorer are getting poorer, those who are hungry don't have food the next day, those who eat and have food, they end up wasting. And the fatal distraction that we want to talk about this evening is gluttony, okay? Gluttony is taking into your body more than your body needs. And I want you to think about this, think about it this evening. The next time you're at a restaurant and you come across a plate of food that really looks delicious, you click a picture on Instagram, what would you hashtag it as? Live to eat or eat to live? Which one would you choose? You see, gluttons or gluts, let's call them gluts for today, are those who live to eat and drink rather than eat, eat and drink to live. So the reason why we want to talk about this is it's not because we want to get all into your personal life and take away the plate that is in front of you, but your control that you exert over what you eat or what goes in, what you consume, is a very, very basic control that you exert. If you fail in controlling this, or if you have problem in controlling what you consume, it's pretty evident that there are other things which are below the surface that you are struggling with. And so when we're talking about food, it isn't just about what goes in, okay? It goes deeper than in what you can control and what you can't control. Gluttony is pretty evident at the time of indulgence, and also it gives poor health, okay? It gives poor health, and you don't need to go too far to see that. And if you're confused whether this applies to you, whether what we are talking today applies to you, let me walk you through a couple of questions. So I want you to put on your thinking caps for a few minutes as we walk through these next few questions, and you think whether this applies to you or not. Okay? Here's the first question. And I want you to answer in your mind, okay? You don't have to speak it out loud, but you answer yourself. The first question is, do you ever eat so much that you don't feel like doing anything but lying around? It's almost like a food coma, you know what I'm talking about? Do you ever eat so much that you don't feel like doing anything and lying around? Okay, that's the first one. Okay, don't answer loud, because the person sitting next to you is going to look at you and go, okay? So don't do that. Here's the second question. Is it easy for you to eat rich and tasty desserts even after you are full? Okay? Wow, we have some pretty honest people. The third question, are you more concerned about your next meal than about the next time you spend time with people or with God? What are you going to, some of you are already thinking, what's up, what am I going to have for dinner at this point of time? Here's the next question. Are you more concerned of getting out of the office and to the restaurant before the noon rush than you are about being punctual on time for an appointment? Here are the most serious questions. Okay, and this is taken from a test of psychologists. During the last 3 months, did you have any episodes where there was excessive overeating, you know? Eating more than normal, eating more than people normally would eat, okay? Have you had any moments of that excessive overeating? Okay, if your answer is yes, the next question applies to you. If it's a no, well, you're on safe ground, okay? Here's the next question. During these episodes of excessive overeating, how often did you feel like you have no control over what you're eating, okay? Not being able to stop eating, you're compelled to eat, going back and forth for one food more than once, okay? If your answer is a yes, this next question is for you. During these episodes of excessive eating, how often did you continue to eat even when you were not hungry, okay? Did you continue to eat even when you were not hungry? If your answer is a yes, here's the next question. How often were you embarrassed by how much you ate? Okay, this is you being honest with yourself. How often were you embarrassed with how much you ate? How often did you feel disgusted with yourself or guilty afterwards? And if this last question, your answer is a yes, you probably need help, okay? And I'm not stating this funnily, but during the last 3 months, how often did you make yourself vomit as a means to control your weight or shape? Okay. if we are not aware, there are destructive habits like that which people practice so that they can diet. And if you clinched even once when answering any one of those questions, there is a high possibility that you are on a gluttony lifestyle diet, okay? Now, I'm not saying you are a glut or you are a glutton. Please don't misjudge me. But a lifestyle is made up of habits that we observe. And I'm not saying you are one right now, but you may be heading in that direction. And what we want to tell you this evening is it can become a distraction for you. It can become an obstruction for what God intends you to be for that purpose. And that's the reason why we are taking time to state this. What does the Bible say about a gluttonous lifestyle? See, the Bible talks about two types of excess. One is eating, second is drinking. Proverbs 23:1-3 says, when you go out to dinner with an influential person, mind your manners. Don't gobble your food. Don't talk with your mouth full. Don't stuff yourself. Bridle your appetite, okay? Bridle your appetite. For many of us who have seen horses, you know where bridles are used, right? You know that it's used to control the horse. And the psalmist is literally saying, bridle your appetite. Because gluttony will drive you to do something that you don't want to do, okay? To act in greed. Proverbs 23:20-21 says, oh, listen, dear child, become wise. Point your life in the right direction. Don't drink too much wine and get drunk. Don't eat too much food and get fat. Drunks and gluttons will end up on skid row, in a stupor and dressed in rags. And this evening I want to ask you this. It's good to eat, but what drives your appetite? Is it hunger or is it greed? What drives your appetite? Is it hunger or is it greed? I want to tell you the story of some of my friends. You know, this one evening we were over at a friend's place, and I'll mention their names. My friends who work in Uganda, and their names are Jobin and Francine. They have a small daughter by the name of Emma, and she's really cute and adorable. But I remember being at a person's house for dinner with these guys, and the place at which they work, they see starving and they see starvation, they see hunger from very close quarters. They see the lack of food and they see kids dying out of hunger from very close quarters. So for them, food is a really big issue, okay? It's not like something that you and I would do, you and I would be familiar with. And I remember once when we were at a dinner with these guys, they both served themselves relatively less helpings. They ate. And then in conversing with each other, Jobin asked Francine, did you eat enough? And she was, and her answer really blew me, okay, because I never ever thought of it that way. She said, I'm content. She said, I'm content. You know, normally we ask each other, are you full? Have you eaten? Are you full? Come on, eat more. Eat more. But here was someone, first time I heard them answer, no, I'm content with what I've eaten. It may not be full, but I've been content. And, you know, many of us need to understand the difference between consuming till we are full and consuming till we are content. I'll never forget the answer. Let me ask us this question. Do we eat till we are content or do we eat till we are full? And I want to point out a passage in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verses 12 to 26. Okay, I'll cut the long story short for you. This is a story of a priest in those days by the name of Eli. He had two sons. Their names were Phinehas and Hophni. And as the tradition was, God provided for the priests through the sacrifices and the offerings that people would bring. So that food was already set aside so that the priest could eat. But here's what was happening. Even as the offerings were being bought in, they needed to be boiled so that the fat could be cut off, okay? Because a fat was not supposed to be consumed. So even as the fat would be consumed, then the servant of the high priest would come, he would put a fork in the meat, and whatever he picked up in that first go was the share of the priest, okay? And so that was how God chose to provide for them. But in the days when Phineas and Hophni were big enough to understand things. I'm sure their father gave them responsibility. They were the sons of the high priest. And what they would do is, even before the meat could be put up to on the pot to boil, or before they could come with it to the place of offering, what these guys would do, they would send the servant and tell them to bring. Okay, they would tell them to bring the meat, and here's the words. Okay, here's the words: hand over some of the meat for the priest to roast. He doesn't like boiled meat. He likes his rare. If the man objected, if the man objected, first let the fat be burnt, God's portion, then take all you want. The servant would be instructed to demand. Okay, no, I want it now. If you won't give it, I'll take it. It was a horrible sin these young servants were committing, and right in the presence of God, desecrating holy offerings to God. And this story shows us how gluttony and a gluttonous lifestyle can take over who you are. And I want to point out two phrases, okay? They say, no, I want it now, okay? What was supposed to be a need, something that God provided, became a want, okay? So from a need, it became a want. God was faithful in providing, but these guys changed that into a want, something they demanded. And if you will remember, about a month and a half ago, Pastor Cynthia spoke about the iBoss. Okay, the gluttony has to do a lot with the iBoss, about what I want, about I, me, and myself, the three most important people in our lives. Okay, it's all about me always. The second phrase in that is, I'll take it. And that's where we see a threat to snatch, okay? And here's where they had lost it. They didn't even for once think that it was an act of worship that was so, so important. They forgot, or rather they chose to just let go and snatch away that which belongs to God. And that's exactly what gluttony does, you know. It overrides the ability to see what's important and what's not important. Even the Bible goes ahead and tells us that gluttony makes a person dull. Okay? And you're wondering how? Well, let me tell you, food that is consumed, okay, is just like any drug or anything that is taken. Anything in excess is always bad. So the minute when you consume a drug, there is a chemical in your brain called dopamine that is released, and that helps you to feel nice. Okay, that's why when someone is high, you say he's doped up. Okay, it's because of the dopamine. And the same thing happens when you consume food. Okay, and excessive consumption also in turn releases that dopamine. And excessive secretion of dopamine can make you dull, okay? Can make you dull. And when the Bible says that, it's serious about it. It's serious about it. And this evening, if we look at this story, you know, we need to check. We need to check our lives. Are there instances in our lives where we have had these attitudes? Where we have had these attitudes where we have said, I'll take it. Or we've had this attitude where we have said, I want it now. And that's exactly what happens. There's poor health. And even, you know, there's a saying that that goes like this: there are no free lunches. Okay? There are no free lunches. You have to pay money. And many of us, once we are given into this gluttonous lifestyle, end up spending a huge amount of money on buying food. Sometimes it starts with small shops, and then it goes on to the big ones, you know, where you are satisfied only with eating from brands, okay? And the Bible talks about finances as well. Proverbs 21:17 says, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. Then in Proverbs 23:21 it says, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Then it also spoils your relationship with others. Not just poor health, not just that it affects your finances, it also affects your relationship with others. Tell me something, how many of you have been at a table with a person who really goes wild when there's food in front of him. If you've sat with that person once, if you were given an option, would you like to sit next to that person again? No, right? Because the guy's got food coming all over his beard and mustache. He's probably drooling, is falling over the dish in front of you. And it destroys relationship with others, because the more you keep feeding, remember, you're not feeding the stomach. You are continuing to feed the eyeballs. You're continuing to feed I, me, and myself. So the only thing that you see is yourself. So watch out the next time you go to choose the biggest piece of chicken, okay? That's there in the bowl on the plate, okay? Who are you feeding? Who are you feeding? It spoils relationship with people around it. It also spoils your relationship with God. And the story that I have right here is one of the Israelites, you know, when they were given in to revelry, when they were given in to drinking, and you know, God says this, okay? The Bible tells us the Lord Almighty called you on the day to weep and to wail, to tear out your hair and put out sackcloth. But see, there is a joy and revelry, slaughtering of cattle and killing of sheep, eating of meat, drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink, you say, for tomorrow we will die. Because gluttony brings to you a point where food and drink becomes your idol. Okay, just like in the skit we saw, you begin to put, food as one of your first preferences. So this evening, I don't want you to get worried. If you fit within this gluttonous lifestyle, there is hope, okay? I want to talk to you about the glutton-free lifestyle. The glutton-free lifestyle. Everyone say glutton-free. You see, every lifestyle has a mindset. And the mindset that we need to set up in order to maintain the glutton-free lifestyle or the glutton-free diet is this. Number one, our body is the temple of God, okay? 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 17 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." Let us not forget that, you know, we are the temple of God, and smoking and drinking and all of the other vices which we classify and we call them bad. Let me tell you, excessive eating, binge eating, or whatever you call it, is equally in line with those things where we are destroying. Okay, you end up having different disorders. There are different things that come in. So remember, our body is the temple of God. That's the first mindset trend that we need to put in. The second is we worship God wholly. Mark 12:40 is talking about a discourse where Jesus is telling somebody, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Heart is to do with your emotional being, okay? With your emotions. You must love the Lord your God with your soul. That's your spiritual, your relationship between God. He goes on to say, with your mind. And that talks about your intellectual relationship. And then he talks about strength. Okay, strength is physical. It's to do with your body. It's to do with how you maintain yourself, how you keep yourself up. Okay, and the third mindset that we need to put is consume only till your limit. You know how much you can consume. You know how far you can go. Don't keep pushing yourself. Don't keep going, the extra mile, at least when it comes to consuming, okay? Proverbs 25 verse 16 says, "Have you found honey? Eat only what you need, that you not have it in excess and vomit it," okay? The Bible is very clear when it says about excessive eating. And let me just tell you, if you're thinking, Pastor, you're telling us to deprive ourselves of food. No, it's not depriving. It's ascribing respect to how God created you. Okay? It's ascribing respect to how God created you. It's not depriving. Okay? And even this evening as the band comes up, you're saying this mindset, how do I get it in? You know, how do I put it into practice? Well, I've got a couple of practical ways that you and I can do it. So everyone who's in here with me, well, even if you're not on a gluttonous lifestyle, this is going to profit us if we do this, okay? So I want you to grab out your phones at this time. If you'll open out the note section in your phone, I want you to take this down, okay? Here are a couple of things that I suggest we should do over this next week at the least, okay? If you want to continue, it's going to benefit you, okay? It's going to benefit you. And so even as we do this, a few habits of a gluttonous-free lifestyle as we continue to do this. Number one, let's maintain a food journal, okay? What is a food journal now? Where did you come up with this? Well, let me just explain to you. Make a list of the things you have eaten in the past week, okay? Make a list of the places you ate at. What did you eat? Write down a meal plan for this week. Be intentional about what you're going to eat. Be intentional about what's going to go into your stomach. Avoid eating anything that you have eaten in excess the previous week, okay? Keep a track of your finances in that same journal. Cut down on what you've been, investing into your diet and it's really not benefiting you. And then you can even do this. On each item, you kind of add to your meal that is healthy, that is going to benefit you. Why don't you click a picture of it and hashtag it as glutton free and upload it on your Insta feed or on your Facebook, okay? So all of us can know about it, okay? So that keeps us all informed and we are kept on the same page, okay? Maintain a food journal. Number two, adapt this thing we call the Daniel fast, okay? What is Daniel fast? It's related to the story of someone who was being told that in order to be fit, they needed to consume a lot of protein in terms of meat, okay? And his answer was, you see, the God I serve or the God with whom I have a relationship can enable me to be fit for the job even if I don't eat meat. So he says, give me only vegetables. Give me only vegetables. Okay, and at the end of the 10 days, these guys who kept this Daniel fast look healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the food. Okay. And let's adopt this. The last, I remember a couple of years ago, we did this too, right? We did the Daniel fast. And they say there are a number of days you can go for, but let's try for a week, okay? To begin with, 7 days. Does that sound good? Does that sound good? Well, we keep in touch with our Soar Live on Facebook page, and we will inform you more about what you can include in your diet as a part of the Daniel fast, okay, for the next 7 days. Maintain a food journal, adapt the Daniel fast, and number three, here's something that even I'm going to start doing, okay? Number three, exercise, okay? As simple as it is to pronounce, exercise, okay? Make a plan for a workout. And if you feel you're going to be too slack, find a partner. Someone in your trek group, someone who is near you, who can hold you accountable. At least start by walking, okay? Delete your Swiggy, Big Basket, Food Panda apps, start walking, okay? To get what you need to get. Start using the stairs instead of the lift. It's going to help you. This evening, even as the band leads us, okay? I want you to on that phone section, I want you to think about these three things and I want you to intentionally write down what you're going to do, okay? If not all three, think of considering two at least, okay? Can we do that? For those of you who haven't yet pulled out your phones, I know you're taking notes up here, so I hope you're processing what I'm saying, okay? So make a note, okay? Two things that you can do this evening, and I'm sure even as we walk on this glutton-free diet, our relationship with God is going to be even more better because it's going to enhance the way we look at things when we just allow God to take over.
Thanks again for tuning in for another message from Soul Revolution. You can do us a huge favor by rating, reviewing, and sharing this message with your friends. We would love to hear from you on how this message has touched your life. feel free to message us on Facebook. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you have a great week ahead.